is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Men Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jens Lua, is back off vacation in Cleveland, Ohio. Did you, when you got back to Cleveland, was it immediately culture shock once those temps hit again? Did you already miss having an umbrella in your drink and the sun and the fun that you had all week?
I'm not an umbrella in the drink guy. We are full of masculinity in that regard. We did see our lawn for the first time in what feels like 2 months because all the snow had melted. So that was great. It was nice. As I said before, for those just joining us, one of those situations, and I'm sure people can relate, just when you start to get in a groove and you get comfortable, that's when you got to start to pack everything back up and get ready to head home. So very, very good time. It went very fast. Great to be back in the saddle. And here we go, man. We got a sprint to the finish. Daily Diamond coming back as we start our MLB previews next week. Cannot wait. Been great to see around the network here, people getting an early start on it. So we feel like the trendsetters here, buddy, getting it started last year the way we did, and cannot wait for that to debut again next week.
Going to have Zachary Cohen join us a little bit later on this hour talking NBA with the boys back in full swing here for the second half of that season. It is the sprint time till you get to the playoffs now in the NBA. But we do begin with, speaking about packing, I'm sure it wasn't easy today for the Canadians to pack up and leave Milan with a silver medal, but that's where we begin with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
And you're right. When you leave a vacation, and what a vacation it's been for the NHL players, certainly on Team USA, to go all the way to Italy, get this band together, and go win gold for the first time since the Winter Olympics at Lake Placid, New York in 1980. Michael Ruzioni was the captain back then. And now you see the golden goal. And it's just an amazing finish for Jack Hughes and company to get this thing done the way they did, to beat Canada in overtime. Yes, it's 3-on-3 hockey. That's the rules here. But he does get that goal that they'll be talking about forever. Connor Hellebuck was unbelievable between the pipes. Neither one of those guys or any American was MVP somehow. That does go to Connor McDavid. But the gold medals go to USA. Jensen, how can we even begin to encapsulate what we witnessed yesterday? And I think for the country, it was just that ultimate come together point for many of us that remember it 46 years ago.
It really was to wake up and to watch it and to be on pins and needles for pretty much the entirety of it. Look, first and foremost, thrilled to get a couple of best bets across the line for our VSiN Pro subscribers. First period under 1.5. A little sweaty there with the early goal from Matt Boldy. It was incredible. Got a fun little clip for you coming up in a moment. But also got the regulation tie, 3-1, got home. Would only be fitting that this game ends in overtime. The way the new rules are, hey, they're the same for both sides, Dave. And it's not like
that's right.
They didn't know it going in, Team Canada. So go cry all you want in the corner. But Jack Hughes gets his anytime goal. Jonathan Davis, two big tickets that he hit yesterday. The anytime goal plus 450 and the overtime winner at 65-1. And again, for a kid that had his teeth knocked out, literally, just a handful of minutes before, what a deserved honor, and a kid that gave maybe one of the greatest post-game interviews, man, of all time, saying it's all about our country. I love the United States. And to see the brotherhood, man, I think the other thing I take away, and I felt this too from being in these locker rooms, spending as much time as you do here in Ohio, Dave, we know the story of Johnny Gaudreau and the tragedy of a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
I think anyone with a pulse had goosebumps, probably welled up in tears to see those two guys, at least on Team USA, go and get Johnny Gaudreau's kids from the stands. And for the family to make that trip to support and to see that it was not only just about being there for everybody, but that team probably got that family through so much in these last couple of years. You know, Johnny was looking down from on high. What a moment it was. Just pinch yourself in seeing that team picture. But what an unbelievable finish for Team USA getting the gold in overtime.
Yeah, to have the presence of mind to do that, not think about themselves in that moment and think of others. And when they cut away to the parents in the stands with all the other parents up there, and there was not a dry eye in the place last night in that rink watching Team USA. Speaking of proud moms out there, we know that Matt Boldy's mother was very proud of watching her son. And this is the reaction at the Catman Cafe in Mansfield, where after that goal by Matt Boldy, his mom works there as a bartender. Let's see the reaction here. Jensen, this is of the bar that Matt Boldy's mother works at. So how cool is that to see? And the place just exploded as they go up 1-0 there on her son's goal. That's got to be beers all around, I think, in the joint after that first tally went up there yesterday.
Yeah, Mansfield, Massachusetts. For those that have not been to Catman Cafe, I think they're going to have standing room only for some time. But you knew they'd be open and ready for business, getting Team USA. And of course, Matt's mom there working. It's so neat. So many of these great stories, right? Watch parties around the country. I know there were north of the border for our friends watching there. So what a great start. I think, what was it? Upwards of 22-1. Matt Boldy, first goal. Yesterday, I think he was in the 20s, if I remember correctly. So if you had that ticket, congratulations cashing that one as well.
And again, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, we can't show these goals. Obviously, those Olympic rights, you know, little fees that they pay to watch those things. If you missed that goal, it was absolutely amazing by Boldy. So go check out that stick work to get that one across the line there to give USA a 1-0 lead. What about for us? Because I know where I was in White House, Tennessee, watching from my place, I yelled and screamed and, you know, went nuts when we got that Jack Hughes golden goal to get it done in overtime. What about for our guys, Andy Gresh and Will Hill? By the way, Will's got his power knocked out. So everybody in the Northeast, we're thinking of you today. We're going to have Will on another day. He's got bigger things to deal with. But he did do the show yesterday with Andy Gresh. So let's get the reaction that we had on the VSiN morning line, Jensen. So again, this is the Circa React in Las Vegas to give you a feel of what our network experienced yesterday with that golden goal.
We have a Benedict Mathurin. Isaac Trotter was on that from CBS Sports, and he likes Benedict Mathurin's over in that Magic Clippers game. Will, is there anything today, NBA, that stands out? Oh, and the U.S. just won it. We see the reaction in Circa Sports right there. Game over, and the U.S. has won it. I turned my head away from the screen for a second, and the next 18-19. So not even 2 minutes of overtime hockey. Oh, I'm with you now, Will. Like, you gave us 3-on-3, and it was 2 minutes, and that was it. But I guess that's what they want. They want the quick ending, and they got one. And Canada, for the first time since, what, 96, they get beat in a game like this, and the celebration is on.
To get up that early on the West Coast, to have that many people there, right there at the mothership, as we like to say here at Circa, pretty darn cool. And I can feel Andy on that one, because I remember doing a show with Danny Graves. We'll have Danny on here, of course, former reliever there for the Cincinnati Reds. We're watching and doing a live broadcast the second that the Cubs got the final out in the World Series to end the curse. And it kind of felt like that was us yesterday, right? 1980 to beat Canada, win the gold. That's a moment in time right there that I don't think people are going to soon forget what we accomplished as a country over there in Milan.
I don't like that you're bringing up the Cubs curse with your boy from Cleveland. It's still too soon. Appreciate that one down memory lane. But no, it was not the Soviets. If you had to beat another team, though, that had the prowess that the Canadians do, that is the one that you wanted to have in pocket. Just so many great things that come out of it. Dave, I think the other part is the tentacles of where a lot of these NHL players that were over in Milan. Remember, the regular season begins on Wednesday this week. So you've got teams that will have guys coming back. I can tell you one that I'm probably targeting already. The Colorado Avalanche are going to be in Minnesota to take on the Wild. Oh. Think about all the guys, not only from Colorado, but also Minnesota, that were part of just Team USA in Canada in their own right. So that's going to be one that we look at. Are there tired legs? Is there fatigue? Are we going to be playing some unders there? And then what's the choppiness of the rest of the league, Dave, with this amount of time off? Guys, I'm sure have been skating, been getting their work in, but part of the handicap that we'll be tackling here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. There are going to be angles, playable angles in the NHL. Again, VSiN Pro subscribers, Jonathan Davis will be all over that as well. By the way, Norway does win the most medals, 41 that they get there. We finished second, pretty respectable for Team USA, right? Overall, I think it was a really good Olympic showing.
It was. And again, to get the big ticket items we needed, men's and women's hockey. I mean, Alyssa Liu, women's figure skating,
yeah.
Unbelievable comeback, awesome. And winner there. So much to be proud of for what these athletes did over in Milan.
Yeah, 33. We'll take it. And again, it felt like unity for the United States. Hey, we can all root for our country again. That was a very nice feeling as well. Every time you fill up your tank, you can be earning real cash back with the free Upside app. Just download Upside from the App Store or Google Play, claim an offer at a nearby station, and start earning instantly. So use promo code BOOKS. You're going to get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Many drivers are earning $200, $300 a year just from the gas they already need. So it's simple. It's fast. You can cash at any time to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app now. Use the promo code BOOKS for your 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. See Upside.com for all of the details. College basketball, it's next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. This show is sponsored by Upside. Get paid back on gas with the free Upside app. Just download Upside now. Use the promo code BOOKS. You're going to get 25 cents per gallon on your very first fill up. For all the terms and conditions, just go to Upside.com. It does work. It's very simple. It's very easy. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Big games in college basketball that we're going to get to right now here, Jensen. And the biggest one might be number 2, Houston. That ranking is going to change a little bit, obviously, after their loss over the weekend to Arizona. They're going to be going to number 8, Kansas. That number might change, too, after the throttling they took at the hands of the Bearcats at home on Saturday. So when you get these two teams coming in, I wouldn't say reeling. I mean, it's just a loss for Houston. But the Kansas loss is the one at home that you might go, whoa, where'd that come from? Well, could have been looking ahead right to this matchup. So I guess if they're looking ahead, they better save it for Big Monday, which they traditionally do. Bill Self literally just doesn't lose on Monday nights. Just doesn't happen. Not at the Fog. 2.5-point home dogs again. I don't know that I want to run to the window on either side right now after what I saw over the weekend. How would you look at this matchup here on Big Monday?
Okay, so again, you mentioned the dominance. 40-0. That's the mark for Bill Self and the Jayhawks at home on Big Monday there at Allen Fieldhouse. And it has not really mattered. Whether it's been a top-ranked team, whether it's been unranked, they have handled their business. Seeing that Houston laying, 2.5 right now, consensus lines here, about 80% of the money and 62% of the bets across the spectrum here, Dave. So people actually believing that the Cougars can bounce back and maybe taking some stock in what they just saw with Cincinnati throttling Kansas. Now, if you look on the money line here, I think that's the other part to factor in. Is this is not only just on the spread, but I'm seeing consensus lines here for the Cougars minus $1.50. They're getting 74% of the bets, 78% of the money. So if you feel like you're looking at a discount on Kansas, I'm seeing upwards of plus $1.30 on the money line. If you think that this trend continues where they make it 41-0 straight up here on Big Monday there at Allen Fieldhouse. Overall, Dave, and looking bigger picture here in the Big 12, mentioned the Arizona win against Houston. That's critical in the conference regular season standings. Arizona standing alone now, 12-2 in conference in the Big 12. Houston is 11-3. Arizona just a tick under an 80% chance right now to lock up the one seed and the regular season Big 12 title. Kansas still with an outside shot at being able to get the two seed. Obviously, they would have to run down Houston and a big head-to-head here. They get that. That would mean that Houston and Kansas both with four conference losses, but the tiebreaker then goes to Kansas. Our friends at CBBAnalytics.com giving Kansas before the game tonight an 11.4% chance of getting the two seed, Houston at almost 53%. So you would imagine those numbers fluctuate if indeed the Jayhawks able to defend home turf tonight as they have so many times before.
40-0 is just amazing. Again, I don't know if there's magic that happens there on Monday night, but remember that was number one undefeated Arizona that came in there a couple Mondays ago and they left with an L. Right. And that was without Peterson, who didn't play. So we're expecting Peterson to play tonight. 2.5-point home dogs here. I mean, there's only one way I could play it, and that would be Kansas if I was looking to that side here, and I'd play them on the money line and take that plus money if you made me. All of a sudden, you look up, and the Ville is playing pretty good basketball. So they're scoring a lot of points here for Louisville these days. How about this total against North Carolina? 163.5. Do that math, people. Because Louisville, I'm not saying they're kind of like Alabama in a way, but they don't play a whole lot of defense either here, Jensen. Carolina got back in the good foot with an easy win against Syracuse, something we talked about on the Friday show, which I just couldn't believe that number was only 3.5 to the way of the Tar Heel. They blow out the Orange up there in the Carrier Dome, and now they're going to be back home. What do we make of Hubert Davis and company now at home as a home dog against the Ville? And again, injuries have been an issue here for North Carolina in the last week or so.
Okay, so really important game, obviously, in the standings, but also now for the upcoming ACC Conference Tournament. Dave, as we enter play tonight, North Carolina would be the 6th seed. Louisville would be the 7th seed. I actually do like Louisville on the money line, minus $1.40. That is an official play for yours truly, and a lot of implications here. If you're not familiar with how the ACC tournament works, you got to get into the top four here to achieve that double bye again. So you could bypass playing both Tuesday and Wednesday. That'd be March 10th, March 11th. So only the top four seeds will get that double bye, meaning you would only need to win two games to get into the title game. Now, if you look at also where Louisville is from a tiebreaker standpoint, they're kind of behind the eight ball here a little bit. No dice in both matchups against Duke. Also, you remember North Carolina, they were able to win. What a scintillating finish it was in defeating Duke by 3 points. So that's big, but also looking at the teams ahead of both the Tar Heels and the Cardinals right now, Clemson to be your 5 seed, NC State, your 4 seed at 10-4, both North Carolina and Louisville at 9-5 in conference. So again, just a handful of these options remaining, or at least opportunities remaining. This is kind of weird when you look at the standings. Louisville actually has about a 20% chance to get the 3 seed in the ACC tournament because they still have a lot of these head-to-heads of teams in front of them, ahead of them. So that's a big one to keep in mind here. A little bit more urgency. North Carolina actually right now would be the favorite to be the 6th seed right where they are at the moment. So I do like Louisville. I'm not going to lay the points here. I'm going to just take them on the money line, minus $1.40 to go into the Dean Dome and beat the Tar Heels tonight.
Just a reminder, Caleb Wilson has been ruled out for this game here for North Carolina. Of course, he's their stud freshman, leading the team in points and rebounds, 19.8, 9.4 respectively. So without Caleb Wilson, that's why you're seeing Louisville right now as a road 2.5-point favorite. And again, you hope you can get him back. He's been out since February 10th when he got injured against Miami. I don't know that I can look at this UNC team the same way until you get back clearly your best player there. So we know the college hoops can be a grind. It's where real bettors do find an advantage and an edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, the opportunity for those who know where to look. So you're not going to beat those billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. With Sharp Plays, you don't have to worry about all that. They're powered by advanced AI, connected with insider sources. The Sharp Plays highlights sharp action, key numbers, and market shifts before the public catches up. So free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, and transparent results since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books, own the boards this college basketball season when you visit SharpPlays.com. In the association tonight, a rather large one between the Spurs and the Pistons. And again, you kind of look at these two teams and say, if it's not OKC and Denver, you might look to San Antonio and go, all right, there's the choice. If you're not a believer in Cleveland and or Boston or the Knicks, maybe you do look to Detroit. We talk about litmus tests with their OKC and Cleveland last night. How much is this one? Because Detroit's a small favorite, not big at all, just a point and a half at home against Wemby and company.
I took the point and a half with the Spurs, winners of 8 in a row, 9 of their last 10, in all due respect to the Pistons, who are on a 5-game win streak of their own. Boy, this would be a great NBA finals as well. You could see where Cade Cunningham and company have been so good. They have been the class of the Eastern Conference, and they have defended home court quite well. 21-6 there at Little Caesars Arena. San Antonio, 18-10 on the road, giving up about 112 points to their opponents. I think it's just the matchup of the front court. Of course, Wemby going to have that in spades in most of the matchups that he's in. Some of the metrics also too here, Dave, and seeing some splits out there. Right now, the Spurs, even money, plus 105 I'm seeing at Circa, but just seeing about 48% of the bets, 46% of the money on the money line. Looking at that spread, I'm going to take a little bit of the breathing room there, +1.5. So that'll be an official play for me, -$1.10. Spurs, I do think, have a great chance to win this game outright. I'm excited to be a fan and see it. Again, very abbreviated slate here in the association, but this one's certainly the marquee matchup tonight.
Are you a little bit surprised? Because I think I am, that I get it. It's still a young team. It's Cade Cunningham. We're going to have to see it in the second season in order for the betting public to really wrap their arms around this Pistons team. But they do have the most wins in the Eastern Conference with 42. There's only three teams in the association with 40 or more wins. It's, of course, OKC that leads the league with 44 wins. Then it's Detroit with 42, and then San Antonio with 40. Like, if I said to you before the year at this point that the three teams with 40 wins, OKC, check, given, we all would have been there. But the other two were Detroit and San Antonio? Like, Jensen, I think that would be where the surprise comes in. But I do feel like the betting market is showing you, with only being a point and a half underdog here, they almost trust San Antonio more than they do Detroit at this stage. And that does surprise me in the slightest.
Just think that their balance in the front court and the back court, and we'll ask Zach Cohen coming up later on in the program. I think they can beat you in multiple ways. They can ground and pound if they need to. They get into a shootout, they're in great shape as well.
Yeah, so right now the betting market telling you this should not be 3-point home favorite, 3.5 point, just a point and a half here, almost a pick 'em there in Detroit tonight. On the money line, by the way, -$1.25 for Detroit, +$1.05 on the San Antonio side. When we come back, since you're back, Jensen, let's talk some baseball, baby. It's next right here. Be some other books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Continue VSiN by the Books. If you're filling up your tank anyway, you might as well get paid to do so. Check out the free Upside app. You're going to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Just download the app from the App Store and or Google Play. You can check nearby offers, start earning immediately. Use promo code BOOKS, get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Drivers are earning $200 to $300 a year just from normal gas purchases. It's easy to use, takes just seconds at the pump. You can cash out anytime straight to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app today. Use the promo code BOOKS for your 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. See Upside.com for all of the terms and conditions. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you on this Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. And again, all last week with Mark Melusis, we were talking a lot about the betting guide while you were on vacation, and a well-earned vacation after putting this guide together, and you and Adam Burke doing yeoman's work on this guide. And we were looking at it. I know you had to do a lot of changes to it in real time. And it's a question I asked you before you went on vacation. Was this an inordinate amount of trades, Late season hot stove continuing into February. Like, it felt like these teams weren't as set earlier as they normally are. Is that true?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of domino effect moves too, because it took a little bit longer for some of your big ticket items, especially on the position player side. You know, the Kyle Tuckers, the Alex Bregmans of the world, Bo Bichette kind of pulling a left turn and going from Philadelphia, what it looked like all signs indicated he'd be there, and ends up signing with the Mets to play third base. And then usually after that, you get a cascading effect, but it happens earlier. So yeah, your point is well taken on the calendar side of it. So our deadline was February 10th, and it's been great to get a lot of feedback and a lot of positive feedback from all you that listen and watch us every single day here. So appreciate that a lot. I was thinking about it before coming on today, Dave, and a lot of the win totals, and let me start there in the guide. I only had a handful of ones that I looked at it and I thought, regardless of what happens in spring training, and even, you know, the outliers of some catastrophic injuries, I would only advocate for maybe 4 or 5 win total plays, not leans, plays. And that to me was where I tried my darndest to really make the most of where the pre spring training odds and totals would be. So if you haven't made win total plays yet, please don't worry about it. Barring like a Tarek Skubal going down for a while in the WBC, you know, that those kind of injuries are what would drastically affect a win total. Me traditionally, Dave, and we did this a lot last year, the odds to make playoffs would be ones that if you want to pop them early, great. Futures, as far as the World Series outside of the American League, kind of hard to look at anyone outside of the Dodgers. But if you want to, there might be a couple of teams, and we'll start Daily Diamond next week with all our team previews and leading you right into the first week of the regular season. But that would be my advice for people right now. If you're just becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're just getting the MLB betting guide a la carte, $19.99 there at VSiN.com. Don't feel like you're missing the boat on win totals, because I think once we get to rosters cutting down the last 2 weeks of camp, that's where you and I will really start to drill down on some of those win total plays overall.
And again, that guide, if you want it, it is still a la carte. You can get that separately. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're listening or watching today and you go, well, how can I get it? It's VSiN.com/guide. It's $19.99. Or again, I would advise you just become a VSiN Pro subscriber as we get ready for March Madness. Of course, we got Augusta National coming up in April. You're going to get all the access to all the betting guides we do, not just this baseball betting guide. And you get that when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. But if you want it a la carte, $19.99, there it is. Does money really buy a championship? Did the Dodgers do that last year? Or was it good managing by Dave Roberts? Because I thought the way he pushed the buttons just to get them across the line against Toronto mattered just as much as that payroll did to get the big ticket items that they have. Look, Dodgers are plus 230 to make this a three-peat, okay? And I'll just point out, too, that you could have gotten the Dodgers last year before the wild card round began, which they were a part of, people forgot. They had a play in that first round against Cincinnati, beat them 2-0, and they moved on. They were 5-1 at that point to win the World Series. So to me, that's not a playable number. Now, again, the Dodgers had a lot of injuries along the way, so they maybe looked a little bit more vulnerable going into the postseason last year. But think about that. More than double the price going into the postseason the Dodgers were than they are right now in preseason at plus 230. So I'm with Jensen on that. There's no way I'm running to the window right now to play a number like that. If you wanted to take a longer shot number on, say, a Kansas City at 40-1, if you think they're going to be their pillar to post, that number would get shortened. If you think the Orioles are going to be a team that is going to be there all year, then 22-1 would get shortened. That's where you can make some headway. Detroit, if they don't move on from Tarek Skubal before the trade deadline at 25-1, maybe those are playable numbers. But Jensen, that's a good point, that unless you're taking a longer shot now that you can maybe monetize that ticket in the postseason, I'm not playing the Mets at 14-1 right now. Let's see how the Dodgers look, right? I'm not playing some of those National League teams with the Dodgers there until I see how these teams play out, how it looks, and then the teams traditionally that we think will buy at the deadline versus teams that sell at the deadline. I think that should go into the handicaps as well.
100%. If we're talking Dodger specific, the only preseason wager that I would make at the moment would be their win total under 102.5. I mentioned with Mike Palm last year, it was one of my favorite underplays at 104.5. This is not a team that really cares about setting a single season win total as far as regular season wins and what have you. Remember, their rotation had so many injuries throughout not only the first half, but they really weren't 100% healthy there until September. And that's all they care about is getting right at the end of the year and having a head of steam headed into October. If you're looking at some player props, to me, Kyle Tucker unders would be an intriguing look just because a lot of people will feel like, oh, he's in this lineup. He's going to have all these RBI opportunities, and he certainly will. But I'm also looking at runs in the first inning. This would be a team you'd love to target most days. Just remember what their lineup likely will look like. Shohei Ohtani leading off. Dave Roberts has said that he wants to try and hit Mookie Betts third, which I absolutely love for a runners and scoring position standpoint. If you're thinking along with me, Dave, with the yes run first inning plays, the Yerfy Nerfy, as we like to call them, yes run first inning, no run first inning. You have Ohtani, one swing, and you can get your run. If they do want to move Freddie Freeman to the two spot, you can do that. If they want to hit Kyle Tucker there in front of Mookie Betts, that's great too. If they want to even like move Will Smith, like I'm very anxious to see what early roster construction and lineup construction looks like for Dave Roberts, but that's a great little prop. If you're looking for a team to target in specific games and early in games for those instant gratification wagers, the yes run first inning is going to be very popular, I think, for the Dodgers lineup this year.
You know, we talk about it. We'll talk more about it too. Coming back off the Winter Olympics breaks here for the NHL. When you see the WBC that's going to be happening in a couple weeks, USA, by the way, is the favorite to win the WBC -$1.15. Japan's a second betting choice here, about +330. And then you get to the Dominican Republic and Venezuela. Will you be targeting some of those players and player props early on? Is there going to be a hangover effect? I mean, look, I can go back to Edwin Diaz blowing out his Achilles, and it felt like that just kind of doomed the Mets season before it ever began. So barring something like that, which hope for good health for everybody involved in the WBC, but is there a cautionary tale there from something like a Sugar Diaz from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, and you nailed it. It's traditionally pitchers that you worry about getting ramped up far earlier, if you will, than what we traditionally do in normal spring training. I would also look at pitchers that are pitching in the WBC that had long runs in the postseason last year. You know, you're looking at Yoshi Yamamoto, a lot of unders on him this year, just knowing that they're going to make sure that he's healthy. And if he needs some time off, they're going to take it. So unders for guys that had to pitch deep into a postseason, thinking along those same lines, Dave, let's go to the Toronto Blue Jays, the runners up, looking at Kevin Gausman, potentially unders there as well. So thinking of marrying two narratives here, because a lot of big guns, I mean, your Tarek Skubals, your Paul Skenes, you know, those guys are going to be popular in their respective Cy Young markets. But I think also it'd be prudent to play those unders, because if they need to skip a start, heck, if, you know, Tarek Skubal, it's back-to-back years of winning the Cy Young, and it's been a lot of leverage innings day. I mean, AJ Hinch has written him pretty hard. And so it would not shock me if there is kind of, hey, pull him back a little bit. There's also the elephant in the room. It's Tarek Skubal, a Detroit Tiger, after the trade deadline here, knowing of his impending free agency too.
Baseball Armageddon could be staring us a smack dab in the face. So let's enjoy this season. We will hear, that's for sure. Jensen, great work on the VSiN MLB betting guide. It is out now, by the way, people. Again, a la carte. If you want it, $19.99, but just become a VSiN Pro subscriber and you already have access to that thing today. When we come back, Zachary Cohen does a great job each and every day when you go to VSiN.com. He's going to join the program next. We'll talk all things NBA with Zach. It's next right here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are are back. VSiN by the Books. This show is sponsored by Upside. You can download the free Upside app today. When you do so, you can start earning cash back on gas. So you're going to use promo code BOOKS, title of this show. You're going to get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your very first fill up. It's actual savings at the pump. Go to upside.com for all of said details. He does a great job here as our senior editor. When you check in every day at VSiN.com, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, you already know that Zachary Cohen, kind enough to join the program now, host of Hardwood Handicappers. Give him a follow on X. I think one of the best names on X, Betting on X. Zach Cohen joins the program now. Zachary, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're fabulous, doing great. Where are you coming to us from? Yeah, because we're going to have you now on Mondays, now that we're really ramping up here to get ready for the second half of the NBA season. Are you like the players now that the break is long done? Are you back in the second half swing of things as you start to really handicap night in, night out?
I never really got out of the swing of things. I did an All-Star weekend preview. I did the All-Star game preview. I haven't really stopped. I think that was a good little reset for a lot of people. But yeah, I was still going a little bit.
Man of leisure on the stroll, courtesy of our great friend of the program, Scott Van Pelt. That is Zach Cohen. Hey, great article that you had yesterday. And for those VSiN Pro subscribers, anyone that hasn't been to the site yet this morning, I think it's a fabulous take because I'll self-admit, I cannot hit a bet in the NBA to save my life day in and day out. It feels like it's just something that's going to elude me. But you also have a great little pinpoint of teams that likely are quote unquote tanking or maybe are lottery bound. Mm-hmm. Kind of fill us in on your strategy on how you would attack some of those specific teams here in the second half.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is as simple sometimes as staying away from games when those teams are playing against one another, because you're going to see some of the wackiest lineup combinations that you're going to see like pretty much ever. I mean, it's guys, you know, rosters full of G League players. So if you see any of the teams that are lottery bound or just have no incentive to win the rest of the season, which I did list over at the website, really does start with like the Jazz, the Wizards, the Pacers, the Mavericks. But those teams, when they're playing against one another, those are stay away games for me. When they are playing against good competition, though, I'd be looking to lay points, or for, you know, the player prop angle, I'd be looking to take good players to do well in the first quarter rather than the entire game, because you're going to see them playing just as hard and just as big of minutes in that opening frame, whereas they might not play the third or fourth quarter if their teams are up 20 plus points.
So, Zach, we saw the commissioner come out, Adam Silver, last week and say, basically, we're going to have to put a stop to this. Like, we're going to take measures here. They're going to get adapted, we believe, in the offseason to make this thing a thing of the past. But while it's still present, is there a way to attack those totals? You mentioned it that sometimes it's going to look like a G League game out there. Maybe defense becomes optional. Would you look to overs for those teams that really are just not playing a whole lot of resistance out there? We're just going to run up and down here and not have star players in there in crunch time playing defense.
I'm still kind of in wait and see mode, because like, while you would think that the lack of defense is going to lead to overs, it's also going to be a lot of ugly offense because these are not guys that have played together a lot. So I just think that we need to see what it's going to look like over the next couple of weeks. There are going to be teams that kind of throw guys in and those guys do well. I mean, we've actually seen it already with the Chicago Bulls. They're one of the only teams of the bunch that are, I believe, 2-1 against the spread since I wrote that column. And I would not be surprised if they continue to cover, just because they do have a lot of like rotation guys. It's just a weird mix of players.
All right, Zach, I'm going to save the best for last. It's an abbreviated slate here on the slate tonight, but let me parlay off of those bad teams. We get two of them head to head tonight between the Kings and the Grizzlies, and I may have buyer's remorse here. I already jumped on the under 233. It's come down from open, I think, right around 235 and a half. Might have ticked up here as we've been on the air. Again, just kind of that idea of, will we see that ugly offense in the second half? And is that something that you would look at here from opens of where totals are and seeing those early moves down? Is that something to follow as well?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I do think that these are two teams that are actually going to be playing harder defensively than they would, you know, in another setting, just because I think these are two kind of defensive minded coaches. I think the Grizzlies want to play tough. I think the Kings have, you know, Doug Christie's, you know, a defensive minded head coach. So I think that they're going to be trying, at least on the defensive end. And yeah, I do think it's going to be very ugly in terms of the offenses. But I will say, like, there are player prop opportunities within these games. That's also another way to kind of milk value out of them. I don't specifically have anything in this game, but like, this is one of the games that when I was saying two teams that are tanking playing against one another, I'd probably be avoiding it.
Yeah, these teams feel like full tank mode right now. Two teams that are clearly not would be the top game on the board tonight. The San Antonio Spurs taking on the Pistons in the Motown City. We're seeing the Spurs small dogs at a point and a half. I mentioned this with Jensen in the last hour. Go back and watch, listen wherever you get your podcast, like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books. We'd appreciate that. But Zach, it feels like the betting market trusts San Antonio more than they do Detroit at this stage, even though Detroit has the most wins in the Eastern Conference. Do you get a same type feel out there in the betting market?
Yeah, I actually like the Spurs plus 1.5 tonight. But I will say a lot of that has to do with the fact that Isaiah Stewart is still suspended for Detroit. It's not that I have a huge difference between these two teams right now. It's really just that I think that the toughness inside is going to be a major factor in this game. And I think missing Beef Stew is going to be huge for the Pistons. I mean, the Spurs are a top five defense. We're looking at defense at the rim and defense inside 10 feet. And the Pistons are a team that does score a lot in the paint with Jalen Duren and Cade Cunningham both getting to the basket a lot. And I do think that Wemby's kind of length and defensive presence are going to be big here. And I think that offensively, they have enough firepower, at least along the perimeter, to kind of get by these Pistons defenders and make enough happen.
I love it. I got plus 1.5 before the show here, Zach. I am seeing some ones out there right now. So some money starting to come in here on San Antonio. Still about even money on the money line. Let me go back to one of your themes here, laying points against a team tanking. And that's what we have, just three games in the slate tonight. The last one, Rockets laying 13.5 against the Utah Jazz. This number has come down from 15.5 at open, seeing about 54% of the bets, 42% of the money. Rockets, a team you would trust. Like, is there a way, perhaps looking at a halftime second half line, to go along with your idea their team's tanking, they're not going to play those star guys late? And if Houston doesn't get off to that big start, laying that big of a number, would that also be a strategy to employ?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting one because I do think that it seems likely that Lauri Markkanen and Keontae George are going to play. Both of them are listed as questionable. I think that that's why that line is coming down. So I'd be actually looking at Utah to cover in the first half because I do think that we've seen a competitive Jazz team this year when George and Markkanen are on the floor. And I think that the Rockets are going through all kinds of their own problems right now. But you nailed it. There is going to be opportunity in the second half with this game. And I'd say specifically in the fourth quarter, if you look at some of the things that Utah's been doing, they've been playing their starters up until the end of the third quarter. Then they pull everybody and they hope that they lose. It's a very aggressive form of tanking, and they are unique in the way that they're attacking it. Not just, you know, giving players surgery that might not need it in Jaren Jackson Jr., but they are, like I said, taking players out for the fourth quarter. So there will be live opportunities in this game, especially if it's close to maybe get in on Houston at a better number than you're getting it open.
I mean, it is astounding the things that are staring Adam Silver right there in the face, and he's got to do something about it. It sounds like he's going to be doing something about it. When you look at Cleveland right now, they took a loss last night to end their 7-game winning streak against OKC. James Harden looks like so far so good, pretty darn good fit there. They have now crept just underneath $3, about plus 290 now, as the favorites to win the East. What is your quick synopsis of Harden in Cleveland?
I absolutely love Harden in Cleveland. I even think that yesterday, in a loss, you still saw a lot of what's going to make this Cavaliers team very, very good. I think that early in the first quarter, the game just got completely away from them. I think that maybe they overlooked the Thunder, maybe not having Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams. They're throwing the ball all around. They go down, 25-5 or something crazy. They were down 20 early, and I just think that they dug themselves too big of a hole, and they were a little bit tired late in the game. But throughout the comeback, you kind of saw all the different lineup combinations that Kenny Atkinson now has at his disposal. Like, if he wants to throw defense out there, he has Keon Ellis. If he needs a little spark plug in the backcourt, there's Dennis Schroeder. This team already has, in my opinion, the best starting five in the NBA right now with Mitchell, Harden, Tyson, Mobley, and Allen. I just love what they did at the deadline. I think that, you know, there was an opportunity there and they didn't get complacent. And I know that, you know, going up 10 years in age is hard to swallow when you're thinking about the long-term future of the team, but Garland was just never on the floor and they got a little bit bigger. I think Harden's like a better version of Garland, like literally everything. And I just love the synergy that he has with the big men. He's made everyone better since arriving there.
Oh, very quickly, Jason Tatum, what's going on there? Because Joe Mazzulla is not telling anybody. What's your read on the Tatum situation in Boston?
I think he's coming back very soon. Like, I like how they keep saying that they don't know it, but there was just a commercial that came out that was like talking about his debut, and it was like a countdown. It seems like it's going to happen any day now, and I think it's probably going to happen within the next 2 weeks, and I think it's going to be really good. I know that's not a hot take. Jason Tatum makes Celtics better, but I do think it's going to work pretty well.
Joe Mazzulla is looking right at us, as you can see if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network. Zach, appreciate you checking out VSiN.com. Great write-ups each and every day right there for the NBA. Coming back, talking some puck post-Olympics next right here at VSiN by the Books.